the Bible's a wonderful book, as we know. It's God's word, and it's always got something to say to us. And I was reading through Genesis, as Tim has been, and I'm a little bit further on in the story of what I'm bringing today, but it was from it's the part when Jacob himself goes down to Egypt. Remember, Joseph's already there, and he's made himself known to the brothers, and they've gone home to Jacob and said, Joseph's alive. He's in Egypt. In fact, he's ruling Egypt. And we can go down and all be together. And so Jacob makes ready. He's now known as Israel in the Bible. He's had his name changed from Jacob to Israel. But he's ready to go down to Egypt. And he sets off. And it says here in Genesis chapter 46, "So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, 'Jacob, Jacob.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'I am God, the God of your father,' he said. 'Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes.'" And as I was reading that, the words that really struck me were the fact that he said, "I will go down to Egypt with you." You know, Jacob had already decided to go down to Egypt, and it was what he planned to do. He could see good things ahead, but perhaps in his heart he was wondering how all this fitted into God's plan. But he was prepared to go down to see Joseph. But you see, God met him partway there and says to him, "I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again." And you know, that's what we need to hear from about God, isn't it? That he will go with us. We were talking earlier about, I think Jean was saying, wouldn't it be great to get rid of all our fear and just go with God? But the great thing is that we can do that because God will go with us. You know, Jacob was no less intelligent than us. He knew that God's everywhere. He was already in Egypt in one sense, wasn't he? But why did God say to him, "I will go with you"? Because that's what Jacob needed to hear, didn't he? Just as we all need to hear that God will go with us as we step out to do his will. He will go with us. And that is the strengthening and the grace of God that comes to us as we step out with the Lord, that he himself will be with us, just as he was going down to Egypt with Israel, and he would be with them throughout their history. So I'd be encouraged this morning. It encouraged me as I read that. I thought, yeah, God thought Jacob needed to hear that. "I will go with you," and he will go with us. Don't just be put off by the thought that, yes, God's everywhere. Yeah, of course he is everywhere. But he wants to be with you in a special way this week. God bless you.
The reading this morning is from Psalm 119. Not the lot. We're beginning at verse 9 to 16, and that's on page 617 in the Bibles that are in the seats. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 9. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that came from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees, and I will not neglect your word." May the Lord add his blessing to that word. I've got a little word this morning, rather sad, but very happy in that respect. Some of you probably won't know of a Reverend Dennis Weller. who died on the 5th. Sorry, it died this last Monday. I've heard the news from Keith Horton, who's coming to bring God's word with us tomorrow, next Sunday. When Joyce and I came to the church in 1958, we had a Reverend Cyril Davis here, who then went to Jersey to minister. At that time, we were not sure what was going to happen, so it was decided that we would be linked with Kingsland Baptist Church, where Reverend Dennis Weller was the minister. So he came and joined with us, together with Kingsland, until 1966, when he left Kingsland only. We then had to decide what we were going to do. And we had the Reverend Tim Evans, who was from the Bristol Baptist College, who came, and he stayed with us to 1971. Dennis's funeral will be on the 5th of November. And for the sons and fellowships of the people that will be there, we ask your blessing, Lord, upon them and comfort them at this time. So rather sad news. Dennis, who lost his wife, Rona, some time ago, remarried, I understand, and his present wife lives just opposite where he was in a home. So we pray that, Lord, that you will be with them on the 5th of November at this time. So as a member, a minister who was here many years ago, only a few of us will probably know who he was. Thank you.
I was asking a question, actually, how do we do church well? And I think we've seen it this morning, just everyone using their gifts, motivated by just love for each other. And that love comes because God loved us first. And just it's amazing to see that, and seeing people not here, people at Pete, people who've gone to be with the Lord now, and seeing church done well. On Friday, I'm having one of the best weekends of my life. On Friday, I got a call from a guy who's a YouTube star. He's got tens of millions of hits online, and he said, "Look, I've got two tickets for Tottenham Manchester City on Monday," and I was like, "Wow!" And he said, "Would you come with me?" I was like, "Yeah, of course, great." So, means a rather late night on Monday, but it was exciting. And then I got some calls from other friends saying, "Can we hang out?" Yesterday, and I said, "Yeah, let's do that." And we had a great time as a family, going to watch the fireworks with my three stepbrothers, and they were expecting a baby, and it was exciting. But yeah, thank you for clarification there. Yeah, and then last night, one of the guys I was best man for came over and slept over, and I woke up this morning to him and his wife looking after the children and just having an amazing time. And I thought of what you're saying about thanking God for the children. And it's just really special to wake up like that. And then this afternoon, some friends have been growing a pumpkin. And I think it's been a good season. I heard about a pumpkin grower recently who's unable to sell his produce because they're just too big. The summer's just been so glorious. With enough water and enough sun, they've grown too big to even pick. So we're looking forward to picking that pumpkin this afternoon and seeing how big it is, and then making some pie. And then, of course, going to Wembley tomorrow, and after looking after the children, going to Wembley tomorrow and gathering with, I don't know, 60 to 90,000 others. And can imagine the chanting as Tottenham win. Not optimistic there, but but it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And yet, as David was reading, and as Tim also read, we get to be with the King of the universe as we spend a bit of time in the Bible. We can do that every day, and with him all the time. There were three words that seemed to come out as we were talking, and we were praying about before, and it seemed to be fear, love, and the presence of God, the presence of Jesus. And let's just read out some of the things that we've talked about this morning. So we thank God for the children. We sung, "I will call upon your name in the presence of my Saviour." Jesus, take the highest honour. All honour and glory belong to you. You're the King of kings. and you give us not only new clothes, but a new body and royal robes. We've heard about Pete getting a job. It wasn't so long ago he was unemployed, and I think this church gave him a place to live. He didn't have a place to live, and the church gave him a place to live and helped him back on his feet. If you're ever down in the dumps, you ought to go to Swathin Baptist. What a message. That's cool, isn't it? People recognise love. We've heard about the lady, 16-year-old, wanted to swim, 3,000 miles? And kind of hearing, how do we react to that? And yet we're called to get rid of our fear and put our trust in God and forget about what might happen and just trust. And we've heard about the lady with cancer. Such pain. I think, have you seen the posters outside recently? Cancer will not survive humans. We're confident, aren't we, in our science? We're confident. The university says we are going to destroy cancer. And yet I think this was the first year in the UK where the life expectancy actually dropped. Only by a month, but first year since records began. But we heard about the compassion for a lady who we don't even know, and yet we love her. And we wanted to, we wanted to raise money, so go and speak to Ruth afterwards about the GoFundMe. Heard from Trevor about starting a new job and just the gift from God it was, and we thank God for that job. But also we hear about the colleague who's unwell, Jake, and money needs help as well. And then we prayed, the prayer from the valley of shadow of death and being with us, and there being a banquet even in the place of darkness. And we heard about Jacob, hearing that his son Joseph was alive. He hadn't seen him in so long, and the joy it must have been to hear he's alive, and he can go as an older man. He can travel to Egypt. Must have been a scary journey in some ways, going all that way, and yet he was willing to do it for love of his children, for love of his God. So Israel set out and offered sacrifices. And then we heard Matthew 7:7, ask, seek and knock, and the door will be answered. That is the God that we pray. That is the one we know. He's able to do it, and he says we can ask. We can keep going with him. And then we heard about Dennis Weller, who took over from Cyril Davis in 1958. David and Joyce were here. And the church joined together in some way for until 1966. And then he's gone to be with the Lord. And we heard thanks about that, looking forward to being here for 60 years in the church. We also sang the song, When Satan Tempts Me to Despair, and I was really hit by that. So a few weeks ago, we put on our winter duvet. It was a mistake, because it was quite hot, and I was waking up sweating a lot. And then I got a call from the doctor saying, can you come in? We've had some tests back, and they're not quite right. You've got a lump, and we want to ask you three questions. Have you lost weight? I don't know. He weighed me. I'd lost a stone, which was a lot. And then they said, are you tired? Well, I've got kids. Of course I'm tired. I'm waking up most nights. And then they said, are you sweating at night? I was like, well, yeah, I am sweating at night. And they said, oh, we've got to do a biopsy. This isn't great. And it's turned out to be a benign lump, which is fantastic. But the chemicals in my brain or whatever went completely wrong. And I was just exhausted and couldn't get out of bed and just whacked. And there was fear. There was real fear. And the psalm, in the presence of my enemies, there I'll give you a banquet. And I was feasting on that. I was coming to a place of, actually, Jesus is with us, even in that place, and he can restore us. And, if you know the hormones, the endorphins and the dopamine and the serotonin and all those chemicals that go out of sync when we're unwell, he can help us live in a way to restore those. He's the creator God. But he does more than that. He's with us, and and he can cast out fear. And a friend texted me a verse from Isaiah, Isaiah 26. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. And I was just saying that over and over again, Lord, you promise peace if we're with you. And I wasn't in that place. And yet, over time, God promises that place of peace. He promises to be with us. And I was amazed. It was actually a really good place. And I had to work through some issues in my own life, as we do. But God casts out fear, and that's good. Love casts out fear. So there's three things. Fear. So Jesus says, do not worry about today. Do not worry about tomorrow. There's too many worries. Do not worry about tomorrow. There's enough worries for today. And he promises to be with us always to the very end of the age. And fear can be overcome. And the final kind of barrier of fear, the greatest hold it has, I guess, is death, is the process of dying. And yet Jesus defeated that. I actually found I had another fear, though. As I was going, my fear was actually a fear of not being able to look after my family. And that was my greatest fear. I wasn't scared of death. I believed Jesus. I was asking, yeah, I am scared of dying, but you promised to be there through it. But my fear was probably something more hidden. Yeah, he does, that's it, he's gross. Definitely. No, that's, so the children at the moment are looking at David, aren't they, David and Goliath, and one of the great things about Israel at that point was they had this king, this guy who was a head taller than anyone else. He had armor, he was a great leader, he'd forged a kingdom, and they could trust in Saul, couldn't they? And yet, when the enemy came, when Goliath stood up and said, who of you can fight? Everyone was scared, there was fear. And yet, this little boy came along and said, he's got skills, but he said, now I come, you come at me with sword and shield, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. And you're right, that's exactly it. Every day, just, I come at you in the name of the Lord. If we trust in him, that fear is overcome. But I think it's important to recognize that that we also can feel that fear, although it can be defeated. I think when Paul went to Corinthians and he says, I came to you in fear and trembling, the same word fear, and I think there's an aspect of yes, the fear can be defeated and we need to be in that place, but also when we're in that place of fear, Jesus is with us and can bring us through, is real. So we've got fear that God can deal with, and then we've got love. So one of the songs in the Bible about love, and we often sing, is from Song of Solomon, and it starts that your love is sweeter than wine, and he describes this marriage relationship, this sexual relationship, and it's an amazing thing. thing and it captivates people. And yet it's only a picture. It's only a picture. It's like looking at a picture of Andrew and Laura up there. It's great, but it's only a picture of, we can actually go and meet them one day. And that picture of sexuality, of marriage, of that kind of love that we can have for each other is only a picture of the true marriage of us and the church, of the church and God, which we're looking forward to. And the presence of God was the last thing that came out, just that he is with us. He is with us. So let's just read the psalm that we began with to close. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I think we see three things there. To be in a place of happiness, we have to not conform to this world. So there's the not accepting its advice, there's not being party to its ways, and not scoffing, not mocking. But then it goes on, and it describes this plant that we are, this tree that whose roots go deep down into the stream, and will be green in times of drought, and will continue to bear fruit even when it's so hot. That's us as a church, that's us. But we can also choose the other way. The second part of the psalm says, not so the wicked, they are like chaff and nothing that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's choose to love each other, just as we've already seen. It's amazing that we just love each other. Let's choose to love. Let's choose to be with Jesus, even in places of fear. And let's pray. Father, just thank you that you love us so much that you created us. You love us so much that you gave us a choice whether to follow you or not. And even though Adam and Eve, you know, chose to pick the fruit and chose not to be with you, chose to go their own way, thank you that you continue to love us and that you made a way to be with you, that you brought your people out of Israel, that you took them from through the Red Sea and you saved them. And yet that wasn't enough for Jesus. You said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to you live in tents, I'm going to make a tent, make a tabernacle to live with you as well. And yet your people, we keep rejecting you, and so you sent your own son to die for us, and by your blood we can be free from all this darkness, all this messiness, all this unclean stuff, all the dirtiness, all the sin in this world. And we just thank you that you do clean us. And thank you we can stand before you and boldly approach you. And thank you promise even more than that. You promise to be with us, to dwell with us by your Holy Spirit. And we just ask that you might help us to go from surviving to thriving now, Father. Please.